Hey, you can do better than that. Let's give those ladies a hand. And the piano player, amazing. That was really good. How many of you went roller skating last night for the first? No, stop. Listen to the question. How many went roller skating? I did. Okay. How many of you went roller skating for the first time ever in your life last night? How many times did you fall down? 5 times. Amazing. Did you fall on your face? Oh, so it's just like that naturally? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just teasing. I'm just teasing. Who else went for the first time? You went for the first time ever?
Yes.
Wow, it's amazing. Wow. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you guys had a great time. How many of you got to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning? Wow. How many of you got in bed before 3 o'clock in the morning? How many didn't even go to sleep at all? Okay, well, those are the people. If you're sitting behind someone who did not go to sleep last night, make sure they don't go to sleep in this service. I just get a hymn book out. If they start falling asleep, just you have my permission to just whack them with it and keep them awake, right? Well, I'm excited about today. Today's going to be a great day. Thank you for coming. I want to say thank you to Faithway Baptist Church, all the Russes. Man, this is great. Brother Tim Russ, you guys had a vision years ago for this youth conference, and God has used you, what, 27 years? Is that right? 27 years. And I'm so thankful. You know, I'm telling you, there's something special in my heart for people in ministry who love teenagers. And the reason for it is because teenagers are just so hard to love. And when you have people who love you and give you pizza and take you roller skating and they do all these things, I mean, look at all these epic games and all the stuff that you had. This whole youth conference just said, somebody cares about you. And that's an important thing to remember. Your youth workers, your youth pastor, they brought you on this trip. They took time off of work. How many of you youth workers had to take a little vacation time from your job to come on this trip? You had to take a little vacation time on this trip, all right? All right, right down here. You know, I mean, think about this. How many of you teenagers are with him right now? You're in his group or you came with him. How many of you are? Okay, listen, think about this. He could have been, like, vacation time, he could have been at Disney World. But he took vacation time to take you roller skating till 3 o'clock in the morning. That's amazing. You ought to give him a hand. All right. Look in your Bible this morning. Look in your Bible this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple things this morning as we jump into the message that I think every teenager in this room needs to hear. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read some scripture for a second, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to jump into this message that is going to, I think, if you'll listen this morning, is going to help you. Genesis chapter 12, this is when God says to Abram, in verse number 1, he said, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy, what's the next word?
Kindred.
And then he said, and from thy father's house. And then he said, and unto a land that I will show thee. Now, everybody read out loud for me the first few words of chapter 12, verse 2. Everybody read up to the comma. Ready? And I? All right, now read to the next comma, and? And then read to the next comma, or the next semicolon. Okay, now think about this. God said, now here's what I want you to do. Abram, I want you to get out of the country. I want you to get away from all your kindred, all your relatives. I want you to come out of your father's house. And I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. And then he said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you. Now, let me just give you an understanding about the Lord. You need to understand who God is. And you need to understand how God works. This is how God always works. God has never changed the way he works in your life. God loves you specifically. God knows your name. He came to Abram, and he said to Abram, now listen, Abraham wasn't special. God is not a respecter of persons. But God came to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, come here. I want you to come out with me. Come out with me. Leave your kindred. Leave your father's house. Leave your country. I want you to come with me. He said, now I'm going to take you. And then God said, after you let me take you, then God said, I'm going to make you. Amen. See, now listen to me, young people. Everybody look at me for a second. God wants to take you so that he can make you. Amen. What does he want to make you? He wants to make you blessable. I'm going to make you, and I'm going to bless you. Do you know why some people seem to get all the blessings from God? Because they're blessable. They're able to be blessed. See, because notice this. What's your name?
Raiden.
No. What's your name? Abram. Abram, stay right there. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. The next verse says in verse number 3, and watch this. He said, I'm sorry, verse 2, we didn't read that last phrase. We read all this. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. So when God says, I will take you, I will make you, I will bless you. And all of us are like, awesome. That's what I want. I want all of God's blessings. I mean, God's going to make me great. He's going to give me a lot of stuff. This is great. By the way, that's where all the prosperity churches and all of your modern day churches are like, God just wants to make you happy. He wants to give you a lot of stuff. And the closer you are to God, the better your life is. You're never going to get sick. You're never going to get cancer. You're never going to lose your job. Life is going to be awesome. Okay, well, remember, he's going to live in the desert for a long time. Because, see, there's a process in making you. God has to make you. Do you know what God's doing to some of you right now? He's making you. Now, wait a minute. What he makes you depends on if you let him take you. You let God take you so he can make you, so he can bless you. Now, why does he want to do that? Look at verse 2. Look at the last phrase. Everybody read this out loud. Ready? The last phrase of verse 2. And? So let me tell you what happens, Abram. God wants to take you with him away from everything that you... God wants to take your life so he can make your life, so he can bless your life, so you can be a blessing to others. Here's what God wants to do. God wants to take you and make you and bless you so that you can be a blessing. And let me tell you about that life. It is totally worth it. It is totally worth it. You're like, well, wait a minute. I got to give up my family? I got to leave my life? Yeah. How are things going in the Ur of Chaldees, Abram? We don't really know. I mean, nobody knew who Abram was when he was in the Ur of Chaldees. Nobody knew who he was. But God took him and God made him. And listen, now thousands of years later, the whole world is fighting over who's his rightful heir. The Arabs are saying, no, we're his rightful heir, and we're going to blow everybody up. And the Jews are like, no, we're his rightful heir, and we're awesome. And we're all like, no, we're the sons of faith. You know, Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them, and so are you. I mean, we've been doing that for thousands of years. We all want to be Abram's son. You know why? Because God took him and made him and blessed him, and we all want to be part of that blessing. Now listen to me. God wants to do that with your life. Let me show you something, what happened with Abram. Well, look at verse 4. So Abram, what? That was the first step. He had to leave and go with God. Except a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Cannot be my disciple. There has to be a leaving of your life and a following of his life. You have to somewhere, you have to leave something behind.
Listen now, listen.
And then you follow. So Abraham departed. Oh, but watch this. He now has no family. It's him and Sarah. But it's him and Sarah and the Lord. And watch what happens. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarah his wife. No, don't think that we're going to let you get married right now, okay? You ain't getting married. He took Sarah, his wife. No, I mean like ever. You're not getting married ever. Never, ever, ever. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. Unless Jesus like. Oh, you're so cute. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, wait a minute, and who? And Lot, his brother's son. So all of a sudden, God introduces somebody into the story that isn't supposed to be there. Lot's there. Right? Hey, Lot, come here for a second. Now, you know what's interesting? You see, here comes Lot as Abram's nephew. Now, you know who Lot is going to be? Lot is going to be one of those people who gets blessed because Abraham was a blessing. I'm going to show you that in a second. He goes with Abraham. And they come down, they journey. Now look down in verse number 7, all right? Watch this. Look down in verse number 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Listen to me. You're never going to see the Lord until you obey the Lord. Jesus said this very clearly in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. He said, he that hears my word and keeps my word, my Father and I will manifest ourselves unto him. If you want to know God, you know God through obedience. So Abram begins to follow the Lord. Lot's coming out following Abraham. And God then appears to Abraham. Not to Lot, but to Abraham. And watch what happens in verse number 7. He says to Abraham, and unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he, Abram, builded what? Everybody say it out loud. He builded
an altar.
Now, I don't have time to go through all of this, but look at the end of verse number 7. He built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on his west, Hai on the east, and there builded he an
altar.
Everybody say it again. He builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, watch this, okay? God says, Abram, I want to take you so I can make you into someone that I can bless so that you'll be a blessing to others. And Abram left. He came with the Lord. He built an altar. The Lord appeared unto him, and he had fellowship with the Lord. God was making him. And God was going to make him for the rest of his life. You know what God's doing with you? He's making you. So you know what? Some of you are complaining about the things that are going on in your life. Listen to me. If you'll let God just have that life, in all of its brokenness, the divorce that happened in your family, the abuse that's happened, you let God have whatever you are, and all the problems that come with your life, you let God have all that, he'll take it.
Amen.
And he'll make it. And he'll bless it. And then he'll make you a blessing.
Amen.
My wife was 3 years old, and she had already had three dads. By the time my wife was 7, she had been abused by several different men. Her family was out of church, and she had never been to church. She was 7 years old. The first time my wife ever walked into a church, 7 years of age, she went into the children's church, and she heard the Sunday school teacher, the children's church pastor, talk about how God loved her. She said, whatever that love is, I want that love. And my wife got saved the very first time she ever went to church. My wife and I have been married 24 years. We have three daughters. And let me tell you something. She has helped so many people. Because she let God take all of that and make all of that so he could bless her so that she could be a blessing to others. See, some of you are going to grow up through your life and you're going to be very bitter against God because of how your life turned out. And the reason is because you just stayed in the Ur of Chaldees in all of your problems and you never let God take you. It's interesting. How many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? It's interesting that the prodigal son in that story, he prayed two prayers. He went to his father, and he said to his father the first prayer, Father, give me the inheritance. In other words, he was saying to his dad, Dad, I know you're living, and I know I'm going to get all your stuff when you're dead, but I don't want to wait till you die. So basically, you're pretty much dead to me now. So just give me your stuff. I don't care about you. I just want your stuff. Now, that's a terrible thing to say, right? Can you imagine walking to your dad and say, hey, Dad, I know that you have a will for when you die, but I don't want to wait for that. So pretty much, you're dead to me. Just give me the stuff. He said, Father, give me. So his dad gave it to him. He went off into far country, and he wasted it with all kinds of riotous, ungodly living. He wasted it. And when he got done wasting it, the Bible said he came to himself. And he said, what am I doing? In my father's house there's bread, and there's enough bread to spare. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, I have sinned. When he meets his father, he has a second prayer. His first prayer when he left was, Father, give me. His second prayer was this, Father, make me to be one of your hired servants. Now see, the prodigal son, if he would have reversed those prayers in his life, if he would have come to his dad and said, hey, Dad, I know that you have an inheritance that you want me to have one day. Make me into the man that can handle all your blessings. And the father would have spent that time making him into the very honorable young man who would have been able to handle all the farm. See, a lot of times people kind of criticize the kid who stayed home, and he did have a bad attitude, but I want to tell you something about the kid who stayed home. His brother in that story that stayed home, people don't understand this. He said to his dad, Dad, you killed the fatted calf for my brother. You gave him new shoes. You put a new ring. You gave him a new coat. And the father looked at the son who had stayed home and said, Son, all that I have is thine. See, that boy had been there, you know, hey, listen, they killed a fatted calf, but who had been fattening that calf up? You know, the boy got a fat calf, but the son who stayed home got the mother cow. The son who was wasted his life, he got a new coat, but the son that stayed home got the closet. The son that went out and came back, he got a gold ring, but the son that stayed home got the jewelry box. The son that went out and wasted his life, when he came back, he got a party in the kitchen, but this guy owned the kitchen. Because he let his father make him so he could bless him. You got to let God make you. Now, let me hustle with this. I'm going to tell you a story. So, we get to chapter 13. And look what happens in chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Okay, so here's Abram and Lot. They're coming out. Now watch this. And Abram was what? Say that again like you mean it. And Abram was what?
Very rich.
No, say it like it was your money. And Abram was what?
Very rich.
Say it like you're President Trump telling the whole world how much money you have. And Abram was? I was very rich. It was huge. No one's ever been richer. People are all talking about how much money I've got. It's amazing, right? I mean, he was very rich. He was rolling large, boy. I don't know what kind of chariot he had, but that thing was sweet. He was what?
Very rich.
He was very rich. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, I want to be Abram. I want to be very rich. Everybody say, show me the money. See, now we're in a charismatic church. Abram was very rich. And he went on his journeys. Now, wait a minute. Where were his journeys following? Who was he following in his journeys? Who was he following? He's following the Lord. Who had Abraham? God did. By the way, can I tell you something? When you have nothing and you have the Lord, you're very rich.
Amen.
And he went on his journeys from the south to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the... Say it out loud. Unto the place of the
altar,
which he had made there at the first, and Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had what? And? And? It's interesting, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but it's interesting that you'll find Abram had a lot of wealth, but it was always associated with the altar. All right, Abram and Lot, you can sit down for a second. Have you ever made plans to do something you thought it was going to be awesome, and then it wasn't?
Yeah.
Anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
You had plans that this is going to be really, really awesome, and then it was not awesome. In fact, it was awful. When I was a teenager, I was probably 8th or 9th grade, and we went on a youth trip, and while we were on this youth trip, we were in the great state of Iowa. Does anybody know what is in Iowa?
Corn.
Corn. Nothing but corn. It is like the worst state ever. It's just corn. And our bus broke down in that state. And so we're on this youth trip, and we have to stay in somebody's church. So these people let us stay in their church. I'm like in 8th grade. I didn't really care. We're sleeping on the floor. This church was a little shotgun-style building. It was probably the size of maybe these two sections back here. There were no showers in this church. There were just two bathrooms, men's and a ladies, and there was no shower there. And we were fine with that. We could survive. And we're trying to get our bus fixed. Well, this church sat on a little highway, and it had, you know, just a beautiful property, about 10 acres. And the church was surrounded on three sides, because they had the highway in the front. Three sides, it was surrounded with corn. A lot of it. So the boys, we were outside. We're playing football outside. We're having a great time. And we played football all day. They're trying to get our bus fixed. We played football all day. And it is so hot and muggy in Iowa, right? And we played football all day long. And finally, I'm like 8th grade. I'm like, I'm done playing football. And so I said, I'm going to go on a walk. Well, my best friend, he's like, where are you going to go? I'm like, I'm going to go on a walk. Well, where are you going to go? I'm like, I'm going to go back and look at the corn. Why do you want to look at the corn? And I said, I don't know, maybe there's little people that live in the corn. We're going to go back and look at all the little people who live in the corn. And so we're just walking around, and I'm you know, the corn's like 8 feet tall. We're walking around, and we get to the very back of the property. And in the back of the property, here's this cornfield, this big high corn, and there's a little barbed wire fence, and it's just kind of like all dilapidated and just kind of hanging up. And we're walking along this barbed wire fence. And as we're walking along, my best friend goes, do you smell that? And I said, I don't have a real good smeller, right? So I'm like, no, I don't smell that. Well, then I heard it, and I heard like, I'm like, man, what? I mean, it's like this loud buzzing sound. What is that buzzing sound? So as we're walking along, then I start smelling it, and there's just like this, like a swarm of bees or something, right? And I can smell it. As we get a little further down the fence line, I look on the other side of the fence, and my best friend, he's like, oh, oh. I'm like, what is that? And there's this thing on the other side of the fence in this cornfield, and it's like this. Miss Marty, it was a cow, and it was not taking a nap. But this cow, that's a funny joke, right? So the, some of you don't understand, but that was a good one, Brother Russ. So this cow is laying on its back. It's totally dead. Its hooves are in the air. Its tongue's hanging out. Its eyes are all glassy. And this thing is bloated massively. And my best friend, he's from the city. So he's like, oh, what is that? I'm like, that's a cow. He's like, oh, it looks like it's going to pop. And I was like, it is going to pop. So I said, oh, it is going to pop. He's like, how do you know? I said, because we're going to pop it. I said, find a stick. And my best friend's behind me. He's like, have you ever popped a cow before? Like, how did you even form that as a question and spit that out of your mouth? No, I've never popped a cow before. But we're going to do it right now. And this is going to be awesome. So my best friend, he is so nervous. We're looking for something. I'm looking for a dried corn stalk or whatever. You know, I got to find something. So I'm looking around for something to pop this cow with. And my best friend's asking questions like, well, what happens when you pop a cow? I'm like, it goes boom. I mean, what do you think? He's like, is it really loud? I'm like, is it loud? Yes, it's loud. And there's a mushroom cloud. And there's like, You know, I mean, it's going to be huge. I said our friends are going to, they're going to feel the shockwave of it. They're going to see the mushroom cloud. They're all going to come running back here. And he said, they're going to see this giant crater. He said, well, where are we going to be? We're going to be in the crater covered in cow guts. He's like, are we dead? Yes, we're dead. I'm like, there's no cooler way in the world to die. Like, I don't understand, like, when people get really, really old, they drive like 3 miles an hour. I'm like behind them going, man, listen, you're 90, go. You may not even be alive when you get where you're going. You need to get there. Right? Listen to me. I've already decided. I do not want my kids to be at my funeral and my grandkids be like, hey, how did your grandpa die? Oh, he slipped in the tub. Like, when I'm 90, I'm going to fly. I'm going to just drive the speed limit whatever my age is. Because I want my grandkids to be like, how did your grandpa die? He flipped his vet doing 140. Oh, man, that guy was awesome. So I'm looking around, and I find this stick, and I'm like, okay. I said, all right, here we go. I'm going to pop this cow. And my best friend, he's behind me, and he's like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm like, Brian, it's going to just go boom. I mean, just hang on. So I get this thing, and I turn around. I'm like, are you ready? And Brian goes, okay. And I really don't know why I thought this way, but, like, I just started sneaking up on a dead cow. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, maybe that cow was just going to be like, you know? And we were like, ah! We would run, and the cow would be, like, running back to his buddies. Hey, did you see that? I jumped up and said, moo. It's what we always say, Kyle. We always say moo. You're supposed to say boo. You're such an idiot. Okay. Anyway, so I'm sneaking up on this cow. And I'm thinking in my eighth grade mind, I'm thinking, I got to hit this cow hard. Because this cow is 100% leather and it's full of air. And I have a basketball at home that's 100% leather and full of air. And that thing's hard, and this thing is going to be hard. So I got to hit it hard. Well, you don't have to hit it hard. So I'm up on this cow and I go, right? And the stick just goes right in, and my momentum just kind of carries me over the top of it. So I'm like over the blowhole. And all I remember is when that stick hit the skin, there was like a little ripple effect. The skin just kind of rippled back. There was like this hole, and there was a suction sound like that. And then it was just like that. And listen to me. I do not have a weak stomach. I just don't. I don't have a weak stomach. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. I've been a youth pastor. I've done all kinds of nuts stuff. I don't have a weak stomach. But when that cow went, it was absolutely automatic. It was, and I turned around, and my buddy goes, and we're running away. This cow's going, and we're running away like, we get all the way to the front of the church, and our buddies are standing there going, what is that smell? My buddy said, he popped a cow. You did what? There were no showers. We're in the bathroom trying to get cow smell off of us. And you know, when, in my eighth grade mind, that was a great idea. Until literally, it blew up in my face. You know some of us in this room today, we've got really great ideas about our life until they blow up in your face. We've got ideas that we think this is gonna be exactly what I'm gonna do with my life, and it's gonna be awesome. And then it blows up in your face. Let me show you what happened to Lot and how Lot's life blew up in his face. We're in chapter 13. Look at this. Verse number 7, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. They both had a lot of cattle because they were very rich. They were very
rich.
And they had a lot of cattle. There's strife. They're fighting over the grasslands. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife between, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. He said, listen, we're brothers. Don't fight. He said, is not the whole land before thee? Now separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right hand. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And watch what happened. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain. They're standing up on the mountain, and Lot lifted up his eyes. He beholds all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. And he saw this lush, beautiful grass, beautiful land, and he saw that clear rushing waters. And Lot, in verse 11, chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse number 13, everybody read it out loud with me. Ready? But the Then the Bible just simply says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will what? Give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and watch this, which is in Hebron, and there builded he what? Lot went down. Now, everybody pay very close attention. I'm done. Lot went down to this plain. It was well-watered, grass. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. The men were wicked and evil, and he's looking that direction. We all know the story that before long, Lot moved into Sodom. We know that God tried to get Lot out of Sodom on several occasions, and Lot wouldn't go. Listen, there was one time the kings of the land went to war. They took Lot captive, and they took him away. Listen, they got Lot out of Sodom, but they couldn't get Sodom out of Lot. He was fixed in Sodom. He was back in this wicked place, and Lot was living with the wickedness of the world. He was in it. Now watch what happens. God decides, and God says, I'm going to judge that land. And if you read over in chapter number 19, I'm not going to read this whole passage of scripture, but I want you to see a couple of things here. Watch very carefully. The Bible says in verse number 22, he said, haste thee. These are the angels saying to Lot and his family, haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities. Hey, listen to me. What did we read about last night? Is not God going to destroy this world again? This is a picture of what's going to happen. You had God's people living in this place called Sodom, and God moved them out, and then he rains fire and brimstone on that city to destroy it. And watch what happened. And he overthrew those cities, verse 25, and all the plain, and the inhabitants of all the city that which grew upon the ground. Everything that Lot wanted, the well-watered plains, the grass, the fruit trees, everything that was going to bring him prosperity, it all burned, every bit of it. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I want you to get the picture. Sodom is burning. Lot is running. The angels have him by the hand, and they're pulling him out of the city. Lot's two daughters are running with him. His wife is behind him, and she's running. But she's got children and grandchildren in that city. And the angel said, don't look back, and they're running away. Now watch this very carefully. Watch this. As they're running, she looks back. She turns into a pillar of salt. They are running to the mountains. She turns into a pillar of salt. The angels are pulling Lot. Lot loses his wife. He lost everything in his life. And I want you to see it in your mind. I mean, you've seen movies like this. Think about this. I want you to see Lot as he's running, and you can see fire falling behind him and explosions coming off the ground. He's running from all that. Everything he has lived for, his family, his grandchildren, his businesses, his houses, his money, everything is burning behind him. He's running for his life. And look at verse 27. While he's running, the contrast is made, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. One man running away from destruction, and another man standing peacefully before the Lord. Let me give you very quickly three things that you're already doing that Lot did to have his life blow up in his face. Some of you are already doing it. You don't even know it. But you're already laying the groundwork for your life to blow up in your face. First of all, I highlighted something in the scripture. Everywhere you see Abraham, you see him building an altar. Amen. Everywhere. You never find Lot building an altar. What do we find from that? If you want your life to blow up in your face, be weak in your devotions. Everybody say that out loud with me. Be
weak in your
devotions. Lot had nowhere to meet God. He had no place to meet. You know what an altar is? An altar is a place made of stones. That's all it is. It's just stones piled on top of each other. It's not the altar that's important. It's what happens at the altar. It's the fact that what we did is Abraham went out and found stones and he brought them to a place and he said, I'm putting these stones here because there's nothing important about these stones. There's nothing important about this place, but I'm going to build these stones in this place because what is important is this place is going to be the place where I meet with God. And it's going to be a place where I bring everything that God has given me and I sacrifice it before the Lord. God has blessed me and I am going to give back to Him. I'm going to live as a sacrifice. That's what devotions are. Devotions are a place where you meet with God and you let God have all of you. And Abraham had a place where he met with God. Where's your place where you meet with God? If we went out and got in the car right now and we drove to your house, take me to the spot in your house where you daily meet with God.
Amen.
You can show me where you play video games. You can take me to your gaming chair and all the things that you have on. You can take me to all the different gaming systems you've got. You can show me where you have all your games stored. You've got it alphabetized. You've got it all in order. You can show me where you watch Netflix. You can take me to places where, listen, you've got places where you do a lot of things. But where's the place where you meet with God? Where's the place where you built an altar and you intentionally said, I'm going to designate this place in my life as a place where every day I get up and I'm going to that place and I'm going to meet with God today. Lot never had it. Listen to me. You don't have a place to meet with God, your life is going to blow up in your face. Let me show you what happened because Lot was weak in his decisions. Weak in his devotions. The Bible says, then Lot lifted up his eyes and he chose all the... You know what he was? He was worldly in his desires. He saw everything the world could offer him. You know what Abraham did? Abraham walked out of the Ur of Chaldees and he walked into the desert and he had his eyes on God. That's all he saw is he saw God. He chose God. And he was walking with God. And he went with God. And everywhere Abraham went, he went with God. Everywhere Abraham went, he built a place to meet with God, a place to sacrifice to God, a place to put God first. Everywhere he went, Abraham was always looking to God. But Lot. Lot never had a place to meet with God. Lot was always looking for things that would be good for Lot. So you know what Lot saw? Lot saw all that grass, and he said, you know what? I've got cattle. And you know what cattle like? Cattle like grass. And you know what Lot said? Lot said, you know what I can do? I can really raise a fat flock. I can have healthy herds. And there's a city right over there. And they'll buy all my stuff and I can make a lot of money. You know what Lot was saying? Listen to me. You know what Lot was saying? Lot was saying, this is a place that I can go. And I can raise a flock. But he never really considered if it was a place to raise a family. Do you know, what grade are you in right now? Eighth grade. You know, it's hard to believe this, but one of these days you're going to have a family. I didn't think I would when I was in eighth grade, and that was like yesterday. And now 24 years later, I have three daughters. One's getting married in March, and I have a family. And let me tell you something. Listen to me. I've had to make a lot of decisions in my life and realize, is this going to be about making money, or is this going to be about making my girls? There was a guy one time that was, he had three boys, and he would work those boys all the time. They were out cutting his grass and keeping it trimmed. They were always working around the house. And one of his neighbors came over one time and said, "Jim, you need to let them boys have some fun, son. Your yard's not that important. I mean, those boys are always working around the house. They're always doing chores. They're always doing something. You got those guys always working." He said, "Listen, you don't understand, man. Your yard isn't that important." And old Jim looked at him and said, "Mister, I'm not raising grass. I'm raising boys." See, let me tell you something. Some of you don't understand, but the teenager that you are today is going to be the parent you are tomorrow. If you can't have responsibility and finish your chores while you're a teenager, you're not going to get up and go to work when you're an adult. Everybody, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. If you can't read your Bible today in seventh grade, I used to always think, man, I'll be able to read my Bible every day when I'm in high school. Well, that didn't happen. And then I said, I'm going to read my Bible every day when I'm in college. I'll have plenty of time when I'm in college. Whatever. And then I'm like, well, you know what? When I get married, that's when life is going to slow down. And my wife and I, it's just going to be like going through a field of flowers all the time. The music's going to be playing and the camera is swirling and we're in the tulips and we're just going to make out all the time. That's what I thought. But boy, was I wrong. Someone's got to go to work to pay for those tulips. And you know what I realized? I realized the character that I was developing in seventh grade was the same character I had when I got married. And Lot was weak in his devotion, so he became worldly in his desires. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you really want out of life? We come to church and we sing, "He is all I need. Christ is all I need, all I need." But I think the question we really ought to ask is he all we want? Is he all you want? You know, Lot went down to the most prosperous place on the planet. Became a homeless man in a cave. Abram went to the desert, became the richest man in the world. Because it matters who you go with. Because Lot was weak in his devotions and he was worldly in his desires, let me tell you what happened. He became wrong in his decisions. Then he chose the plains of Sodom. You know, some of you are going to make some decisions. Some of you seniors in high school are going to make some decisions this year. And you're going to think these are the best plans ever until they blow up in your face. And everybody's going to look at this kid who's got all kinds of potential and all kinds of talent, and he could be really something in the business firm, and that kid's going to give his life to the Lord, and people are going to think he's making the biggest mistake of his life. But he's going to go with the Lord, and 15 years down the road, when the kid who went to excel in business is divorced and the kid who went into ministry is still married, and this guy's living in a big house by himself, and this guy's living in a single wide with his family, he's going to realize better is a little. Better is a little plate of herbs. In a house where there's love. In a house with a stalled ox. And all kinds of contention and strife. Let me ask you a question. What do you want out of life? What are you following? Have you ever prayed, "God, take me and make me. Take me. Make me. I'm leaving everything behind. I'm going to go with you. You make me, and you make me blessable. so that my life can be a blessing. I wonder how many of you one day, will be the kind of person that is able to be a blessing to everyone else around you. Or you're going to be the person in the pastor's office saying, "Preacher, can you help me? Can the church help me? I'm in trouble. I'm in a mess." I was standing at the airport yesterday. Two businessmen were traveling. I don't know what they did for a living, but they had nice suits on. And the one guy got up and he took a phone call. And I just overheard him stand over there by the pillar in the airport. He's standing over there talking. And he was telling his daughter, "No, sweetheart, you're in Wyoming. You do not go to the jail and give them $700. That's not the way it works." She got herself into this. She needs to call. If she just asks somebody in the jail, then they'll find a bail bondsman, and the bail bondsman will post the bail, and she can get out. It's not your problem. It's not my problem. And I thought, you know, there's a girl somewhere calling somebody saying, "Hey, can you help me? I need somebody to be a blessing to me, because my plans have blown up in my face." Now, I want to be the person who answers the phone, not the one making the call. And the only way to do that is you got to have a place to meet with God. And when Lot's running from everything that's burning in his life, Abraham is in the place where he met the Lord. He's talking to the Lord face to face. "Here I am, Lord. Take me. Make me. Bless me. Make me a blessing." Are you a disciple? That's what a disciple is. Leaving all. Following Christ. And can I tell you something? When you look at the end of the story of Abraham and Lot, it's worth it.
Oh, yes.
It's worth it. Our Father, I thank you today.